I mean, I had a couple of ouch moments, you know, thinking about it, because it's just some things that we do. And, you know, sometimes it's possible to realize you're doing something without realizing it. Okay. You know, sometimes I think, what's the term Brother Hagin uses, Pastor Ed? Like taking a shower with your socks on. Okay. It's just something just doesn't feel right. But you go with it because you want to. You know, you just want to. But we're still going to start at John 3:16. I'm going to read it out of the Good News Bible. You can read it aloud in whatever translation you have. Doesn't matter, it'll make a nice harmony. Okay. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. That part, first time I realized what it was saying, it struck me. See, and I'd realized that I had created my own judgment seat. And I had to break it down. Okay. And now, you know, before you look at me funny, some of you may have to break down some judgment seats also. You know, we call them opinions. We call them preferences. But we wind up judging people, and that's not why God sent us here. All right. In John 13, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. And one of my new additions to my favorite scripture list is in Proverbs 10, verse 12, in the New International Reader's Version. This popped out when Pastor Ed was sharing, I think it was a Saturday, because usually we're not here together on Sunday. But it says, hate stirs up fights, but love erases all sins by forgiving them. Okay, let's go to Romans 12:1. And let's read verses 1 and 2 together. In King James Version is fine. Are you there? Let's read it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, we want his good, acceptable, his perfect will. And Proverbs 4:23 tells us, be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by what? By your thoughts. By your thoughts. Okay, he just told me to move down, so I'm going to move down. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to share this in the Amplified Bible concerning temptation. It says, for no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always, say always.
Always.
Okay, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Patiently. The New Living Translation says he won't allow you to be tempted more than you can stand. The International Standard Version says he won't allow you to be tempted beyond your strength. God's Word Translation says you won't be tempted beyond your power to resist. The Voice says you won't be tempted beyond what you can handle. We already shared what it said in the Amplified, but the Living Bible says no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. See, so we have to stop getting upset when temptation comes because God will already show you how to get out of it. Now, we're going to talk about why it comes, but even in that, God will he'll show you a way. Now, he's not going to put you or drag you along the way, but he's going to show you the way. You know, I'm not going to do it because it would take too much, but if I had everyone turn out, you know, the guys turn out these lights, everything would be dark, but the aisles would remain lit. Why? To show you how to get out. Because temptation really, it brings with it like a darkness that comes in to try and cloud over everything you know about God. See, we call them the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and all those things. Temptation comes in essence, to try and choke the word that's in you. But God gives you, he shows you a clear path to get out every single time. Say, well, why do people fall to temptation? They don't want to take the path. I mean, that's the reason. I mean, right now, even with the lights on, if I needed to get out, there are aisles. I believe there's seven, right? There's aisles. Now, I can take the aisle, or I can be a knucklehead and start climbing over pews and things. And getting frustrated saying, I just can't seem to make it out. Take the path. Didn't God say, my word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? And he said in Psalm 119, 105. And what did he say in verse 130 of that same psalm? The entrance of thy word giveth light. And it gives understanding to the stupid. I mean, understanding to the simple. So all I have to do is act like that song we sing. I have to walk in the light, and I'll be fine. And when we look at that, we think it seems so simple, but it is. Temptation is just a weapon, and God's already spoke about that. He said in the Message Bible, a weapon that can hurt us has never been formed. So just because temptation is there doesn't mean it can hurt us. Or it might be more accurate to say doesn't mean it should hurt us. Because if temptation can come and just overtake you and you have no recourse, then the word isn't true that said you've been given power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. But since we know that's true, then temptation can't overtake you. It needs something to do that. Your permission, your consent, your cooperation. And we're going to see that. Okay, but we'll look at some definitions. When I looked up temptation in the concordance, and I always look up the word when it's in the scripture that we're addressing. And when you look that word up, used in the scripture that we read, the basic definition for temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's an experiment, an attempt, a trial, a proving. But when you look further, you find out that it means an enticement to sin. So right away, that tells me I can't be tempted to do what's wrong, what's right. I can be tempted to do what's wrong. Okay. All right. It said it's an enticement to sin. Temptation, it says it's temptation, and it doesn't matter if it's arising from desire, from the desires or from the outward circumstance. It's an internal temptation to sin. So it's like an internal pulling to do something that you know is wrong. Okay. Enticement is the act of attracting or drawing towards oneself by exciting hope or desire. Exciting hope. That means you look at something or a thought comes in that's contrary to everything you know is right and holy. But you find it so tempting, you get excited. And then you start figuring out, how can I do this thing and not get caught? Okay. That's what we do. How can I do this and not get caught? So we forget that if you just do what's right, you don't need any explanations. Okay. It requires a lot of, that's why when I was out there, no matter what young lady I was with, I told them the truth. Because I wouldn't be bothered with looking over my shoulder or trying to remember what I said. So I told everybody the truth. I ain't faithful to nobody. Okay. Oh, God. So out to every single one except that one sitting over there. See, why not? Somehow I knew it wasn't necessary. Okay. I mean, when you know she's the one. But I didn't want to have to remember the lies I told. I had too many friends that they're wondering, and they're saying, if this, you see this one, and they ask, tell them. I said, I'm not telling them anything. You tell them. You leave me out of it. You know. But it's an attracting or drawing towards oneself by exciting hope or desire. And that means in order to be tempted, there has to be some desire in me. And that's the part that gets us uncomfortable. Because there's something within us that something is drawing on. I've told you before, I always wondered why the devil chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to tempt Adam and Eve. Why didn't he use something else? Because he sensed something, I believe, that he sensed something about them concerning that tree. And this attraction that they had for this tree. So he just nurtured a seed that was already there. Well, that's what the temptation does. It kind of gets the juices going. See, it's one thing to want. You say, how can you say this when we're on a Daniel fast? But this is the appropriate time to say it. Because we are on a Daniel fast. But you drive by, you know, and you start thinking about this big slice of cherry cheesecake. Okay. Well, that's one thing. It's another thing to pull up the Cheesecake Factory and look at it. Okay. That's another thing. See, we deceive ourselves and say, I'm just going to go and look at it. And you walk in there, and as you're walking in, what are you thinking about? How it tastes. And trying to figure out how I can call this a whole grain. Okay. Yeah. So that I can eat this. And then you go in and you find out there's a special. Buy one, get one free. Then you forget about the fast and start saying, oh, Lord, you done blessed me. Thank you. And next thing you know, you got cheesecake all around your mouth. And then when it's over, this guilt comes in. Yeah, see, he didn't tell you that part. Okay. Why? Because the thought came, and rather than get rid of it, you encouraged it. You put substance to the thought, and you got enticed. In James 1, verse 12, King James Version, Jesus said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he..." Now, he's about to lay something heavy on us in these passages of scriptures. But he starts out, when he's getting in that section, he said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him." And okay, God just told us two things, and I just saw a third one in there. Okay, right away he told us temptation is not irresistible. Right away, because he said you're blessed if you endure. If it wasn't irresistible, you couldn't endure it. He also said there's a blessing waiting for those who endure it. And then he said something else that I didn't see until I just read it. If you endure temptation, you love me. So that means if I don't endure temptation, then I must not love him. See, I have to... Everybody that's married, raise your hand. Okay. You tell them to put their hand down. I didn't say by faith. Okay. Okay. But see, you have to love your spouse so much that you will endure and forgive anything, no matter what. Why? Because you love them. And that's what God is telling us. You love me because he already gave us a clue how to resist temptation. Love him so much that nothing else matters. And the counterfeit won't be attractive to you. You won't get excited about it. But in verse 13, he said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So God is not going to put you in a compromising position just to find out what you're going to do. Okay? No, he's not going to do that. As you are putting yourself in that compromising position, God is going to be speaking to you, saying, "Go to the left, to the left, to the left." And you keep going to the right. Okay? He's telling you, jump in the river. You say, "No, it's more fun on the shore." No, that's where the temptation is. Get in the river. You know. But every man, here it is, every man, say every man, and say that includes woman. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man, every single person that was ever tempted was drawn away by their own lust, by this desire, whether it's foremost in your mind or something you've pushed way to the back. If it's there, it's a magnet. And we have to understand that. And it's going to, and temptation is going to attract it. And you won't know what's happening about it. Okay? The scripture says we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. We're going to dig a little deeper. What does it mean to be enticed? And don't say tempted. Okay? According to the concordance, in that verse, enticed means bait. To catch by a bait. Well, I started thinking about that. Pastor Red and I were talking about it a little bit this afternoon. See, if a mouse finds its way into your house, okay, you're not going to run out of the house because, you know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, and you know you have dominion of everything. Okay. But you're going to put down a trap to catch the mouse. What are you going to bait it with? Peanut butter, cheese. Why won't you bait it with a good book? Why won't you bait it with cat hairs? Okay. Okay. Yeah, see, the mouse might do that and leave. Okay. No, it's not attracted to, it doesn't find those things exciting. That won't bait a mouse. He's not going to sit down and read your book. Okay. No, you have to put down something that you know it would be attracted to. That's why I heard cheese and peanut butter. Okay. And you're right. They'll literally lose their life for some peanut butter. Okay. Because they find that excited. They get that scent and they get excited and they just go. They don't investigate. They just go. And the next thing you know, you hear, all gone. Okay. All gone. Every now and then you see it just got its nose a little bit to the peanut butter. Didn't know that that last sniff was going to be its last. Did not know. All it knew, I got to have this. But that's what happens when we get enticed. We forget about everything else, and we go right after it, and we get trapped. See, that's why we need to continually renew our minds. Because every single day we encounter mind-altering circumstances. Every single day, something will happen. And you'll feel like, I'm about to lose my mind here. And you're going to have to do something, otherwise you're going to be tempted to respond based on what you're feeling. I mean, there's some people that you encounter, and every time you see them and they open their mouth, it seems to make your hand want to just rise up and lash out because of what they say or what they do. If you keep meditating on that one day, you will. You will. And you'll come, you probably ask for a meeting with me and Pastor Ed. And you, I don't know what happened to me. Yeah, you kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and the devil presented the perfect opportunity where you felt justified, and you did it. And you did it. And then after it was all over, that feeling of exhilaration leaves. It's followed up with deep guilt and condemnation. And you forget that God said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We have to remember that principle, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you keep thinking about something and you know it's wrong, you're going to do it. So when the thought comes in, God gave us 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought. Not just the thoughts that we think need to be brought into captivity. If the Bible says every thought, then every thought needs to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, period. Even if you think it's a good thought, you hold it captive and make sure that it measures up. We can't afford to guess because we can guess wrongly. Wrongly. See, temptation does not suddenly overtake anybody. It's a process. You start thinking and wondering and putting it down a little bit. And you feel you're fine because you're not thinking about it. And then something will come up that will trigger that thought, and you'll start thinking about it again. If you're not careful, you'll start finding yourself smiling as you're thinking about it. And then if you're not careful, you're going to find yourself planning how to do it or how to get it. And the next thing you know, you're right there. And you're like, how did this happen? Okay. You didn't cast down that thought. You didn't bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. So you couldn't see the way of escape. You let it come in and choke the word. So you didn't see it. You didn't even remember that God said he would give you a way of escape. See, I know this is a silly question. And I hope nobody says raises their hand. Okay. But if you have to raise your hand, be honest. We'll get you some help. Okay. But how many of you here were ever tempted to go get in your car, start it, blindfold yourself, and drive home? Okay. There was anything anybody could offer you that would cause you to want to do that. Because as far as you're concerned, that's the most ridiculous thing you ever heard. Well, that's the attitude we have to have about everything that goes against what God said. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. You can't pay me enough to do that. That needs to be our attitude. That needs to be the mindset that we develop. And this way, when those ungodly thoughts come, because they come, you'll know what to do with them. To get rid of them. Not to entertain them. Because if you start entertaining them, I'm telling you, you're going to do them. The Amplified Bible says, every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desires, lusts, or passions. Listen to this in the Complete Jewish Bible. Rather, each person is being tempted when he is being dragged off and enticed by the bait of his own desire. Phillips translation. I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to read the Message next, and the Message Bible is rough. Okay. It said, a man's temptation is due to his own inward desires, which can be enormously attractive. Enormously attractive. His own desire takes hold of him, and that produces sin. His own desire. We can't use that Flip Wilson line anymore. The devil can't make you do it. Okay? But the Message Bible. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby. Sin. That's what the Message Bible puts it. We have the temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. The only reason the lust flares up is because we've nurtured it. And we've gotten it to the point where it just ignites suddenly. Just like, you know, you barbecue, if you just soak the coals and take a match and throw the match on there, then it's going to slowly get hot. It goes, boom, get this blast of flame that comes up first. Well, it's the same principle that happens. We have soaked it to the point where now it just flares up. And here we are, tongue-talking, Bible-toting, Bible-believing, Bible-reading, born-again believer in the throes of temptation, trying to figure out how we got there. See, my attitude is, if I find myself in the throes of temptation, doesn't matter how I got there. I just got to get out. I mean, you spend too much time. Are you trying to figure your way out? Okay. Figure out how you did it. You're still hanging out in there. And the longer you hang out in there, the more comfortable you become. What did Jesus say to his disciples at Gethsemane when he went to them and they were falling asleep or had fallen asleep? He said, watch and pray so you don't enter into temptation. So that has to tell, that tells us something. Well, I should say that just told me something. He said, so you don't enter in to temptation. So that means what temptation does, it's like this door, it just opens the door. Okay? You've left it there, it's hanging around, you get close, and it just opens right up. Opens right up and starts calling you. Come on in. Everything's going to be all right. Liar, liar. Okay? You say, no, there's nothing in there that I want. And Father, obviously there's something in me that I wasn't aware of or I buried so deep. Bring it to the surface so I can get rid of this thing because I'm not giving into that. I'm not giving into it. Period. See, we'll get into condemnation because of it. No, just because you had a lustful thought doesn't mean you're a horrible person. According to the Bible, it means you're human. Because the Bible said there's no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. So he said, Jesus was tempted. The Bible says we don't have a high priest that can't identify with us. He was tempted in all ways just like we are. What does that mean? How are you tempted? You think about the things that tempt you. Tempted him also. But he didn't sin. And you can't use the excuse that, well, he didn't have the sin nature. Neither did Adam and Eve. Neither did Lucifer. Neither did two-thirds of the angels that fell with him. They didn't have, none of them had the sin nature. But they all made a choice. See, this is about choice, not nature. Yeah, it makes it easier not having, you know, having a sin nature may make it a little harder, but it doesn't make it impossible. All it means is that your love for God has to be much stronger than the temptation. It's hard, but it's true. But in James 1:14, it said, every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So you know what I did? I said, well, let's just see what the concordance has to say about lust. I read it. And basically, I'm going to tell you what it means. Lust means a desire, a craving, a longing. But it also means a desire for what is forbidden. That's what lust means. So when you find yourself lusting after something, the only reason you're lusting after it is because you know you shouldn't have it. You know that already. So since that is true, then how can we form our mouths to say when we get caught, I made a mistake? You think about that. See, writing the wrong written amount on your check is a mistake. So you make out a check for $40 and you mistakenly write $400. That's a mistake. Writing down the name of a rendezvous point for someone that's not your spouse is not a mistake. How do you accidentally do that? How do you accidentally not go home? I mean, you have to think about those things. You say, I made a mistake. But you got on an airplane. And we come up with all of these reasons. You know, well, he or she listens to me. They always have something nice to say about me. They're there for me. Yeah. And did you ask yourself why they are there for you? Okay. But that's we will try and find ways to justify doing that which we already know is forbidden. Folks, the fact that you have to justify an action should be an indicator that there may be something wrong with that action and that you're giving in to a temptation. Since we have physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, what temptation can take hold of us that we can't resist? The Living Bible says, but remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before. And as I read earlier, no temptation is irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. But he has promised this and will do what he says. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. See, we already shared about Psalm 119 and Psalm 130, verses 130 and verse 105. But look at Deuteronomy 30. Because God, he'll always illuminate his word. Because we don't want you to think that this is hard. I've shared this several times before. I'm going to share it out of the Amplified Bible. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 to 14. God is saying, for this commandment which I command you this day, it's not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It's not a secret laid up in heaven. See, so if God said, I will give you the way of escape, you don't have to run around looking for it. It's going to be evident. It'll be so clear. You know how I always say it? It'll be so clear Stevie Wonder can see it. But that's the way it will be, because he wants you to see it. It's not, see, this isn't a game to God. He sees the temptation. He knew it was coming before you were formed in your mother's womb. And so he made this grandiose way of escape for you to see. That it's not a secret laid up in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth. What does Joshua 1:8 tell us? Don't let the word depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it. Think about it. Mutter it. That means speak it. Keep speaking it. Why? Day and night. Observing to do everything that's written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll be able to see the way of escape. You'll have good success. You'll take the way of escape. Why? Because the word will always be going through your mind. And as a man thinketh, so is he. Your life will be shaped by your thoughts. If your thoughts are consistently on the word, your life will be shaped by the word. And when your life is shaped by the word, there's no attraction, there's no draw, you're not excited about temptation. You're not lusting after anything, because all you're thinking about is what the word says. I'm going to quit with this. I shared it Sunday, but this is the way the Lord said it to me Saturday It's actually early Sunday morning. Thus saith the Lord. It doesn't matter how big the temptation is or how strong it appears to be or how often it shows up. No temptation will ever be stronger than you. No temptation will ever be able to outlast you. And no temptation will ever be able to wear you out. None. We just need to understand that the only reason we're tempted is because there's something in us, something that we have buried in us that comes active. See, sometimes it's like a dormant volcano. And, you know, they very seldom, you know, I don't know a lot about, I'm not a, what is it, a volcanologist, you know, but, you know, what I do know is often there'll be some rumblings, you know, to give people a clue that something's different about this mountain. There's some atmospheric changes that'll take place. There's some natural things that might happen. You know, some the waters right around might be a little more acidic. You know, some small animals might die. You know, different things will happen, you know, will occur to let you know something different is about to happen. Well, the same thing happens with us as humans. When we're considering a temptation, we act differently. We don't realize it. One of the things that Pastor Sarah showed us, and you know, when I first heard it, I really didn't believe it. I didn't. But then when events would happen and we'd start talking about it, because she always knew when a member was about to leave. They started acting differently. And we found it to be true. There's some folks, every service, they're right through the line. Then you see them every so often through the line. And then you just see them walking out the door. And about 4 minutes later, you find out they've joined another fellowship. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a crime. You know, but they must have been feeling some kind of way about it because it didn't come up and just say, see, we believe if God is sending you somewhere, you should be excited about it. And when you're excited about it, you want to tell everybody. You're so excited that God is sending you someplace else, you're not going to tell anybody. Okay? Well, there's something wrong. So we start, I'm telling you that to let you know that you act differently when you're considering doing something and you're not quite sure that it's right or you know absolutely that it's wrong, you act differently. The difference is because you're not at peace. You're not at peace about it. And you're concerned somebody's going to find out. My thing is, take the power out of the devil's hand by just confessing it yourself. Say, look, this is what I feel like doing. Okay, I know it's wrong, but I want to do it. And this is what I'm standing on. You know, help a brother out here. Something. And the person will guide you. Well, you know what the word says. And God will probably have them give you a scripture and you'll get a revelation. You know, that'll just wipe everything out for you. That's all it takes. But we hide it. We think there's something wrong with us because this feeling comes. No. It's only what's common to men. When we don't have glorified bodies yet. We don't. So your bodies are going to feel things. Your bodies are going to desire things. Your mind is going to think things. But if your spirit is strong, and if you've been in the process of renewing your mind, your spirit will scream out what you need to say to your mind, and you'll start confessing the word. And you'll find that you won't do those things. You won't do it. Here's what we're going to do. Told me he might. I didn't know, so I'm kind of waiting to hear. If you've been struggling with something, I just need you to stand. I told you this was rough. You need to just you know, look at yourself in the mirror, and you know, not saying you gave into it, but it's just something that's been nagging and just comes in your head, and you don't really get it out. You try not to think about it, but it's there. And tonight, God wants you to just get rid of it. Just wipe it right out. Just wipe it right out. So just stand where you are. You know me, I'll sit down and wait. I got. When I do that, it's not arrogant, but God said to me, he said, if I listen and say what he says, he will make every word that he gives me come true. So if he tells me to say it, I know the folks are here. I mean, that's just the way it is. Guys, would you play that song for me, please?